thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
We are continuing looking at Psalms. So today we're going to be looking at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Psalm 139. If you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's word. For the director of music of David, a psalm. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offense way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, we thank you for these beautiful words. As we draw our attention to them this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask that you open up our hearts and our eyes and our mind. Help us to see you, Jesus, face to face. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. How much do they know? How much information do they have? Lately, information and privacy has been in the news a lot. There's a company called DeepSeek, and they've been in the news. Recently, New York State and many other states have banned, at least on government systems, to use DeepSeek. And for those of you who don't know DeepSeek, it's an AI firm. And why are they so afraid of companies like DeepSeek? It's because they gather and they collect information about you. There's so much that we could learn about a person by seeing what's inside their computers, their viewing habits, their spending habits, the communication that they have with one another. All that, if it's collected, can really expose who you really are. Just if you were to share your Netflix viewing habits, for those of you who are willing to do that, we can know a lot about you. Right? Some of us would probably want to go and delete all our viewing history. Yeah. So DeepSeek is not only banned in the United States, but around the world, they're so afraid of this. So not just the United States, South Korea just recently announced that they're banning DeepSeek as well. But here in America, we believe in privacy. Some companies would say privacy is a fundamental right of us. Anybody believe in that? Privacy is a fundamental right. Okay. Well, I don't know what that means, because when I grew up in Korea, they published your test scores in the newspaper. That's how you found out if you got into a college or not. That's how you found out how well you did, your ranking, because it was a national test that everybody would have to take. And this is before the internet, and they didn't really care about privacy back then. So the best way to get the information out to everybody is they would publish the test scores on a local newspaper, and then they would post those newspapers at every bus stop. So people would just go look and look for the name of the individual and see their scores. Right. Now fast forward to today, I have two kids in college. I, as a parent, have no access to their grades. Right? The only thing they'll give parents would be the tuition bill. I'm like, this is just not right. So I asked my kids, like, how are you doing in school? And I have to take their word for it, right? And so privacy, it's a big deal. And why is it a big deal? Because we don't want people to really see what's going on inside of us. We really don't. Because when most of us, even at church, we put on masks, right? So the deep, dark stuff, we kind of keep that hidden away, and we bring our best face forward when we're here at church. Yeah. So when I pray for you guys, I think you guys are just marvelous people. You guys are all wonderful, right? I'm the only one with flaws, right? But in reality, we all have issues that we need to work on. This is what Thomas Merton said: to be unknown to God is altogether too much privacy. And I find that interesting, because God knows everything. God knows everything. God sees everything. You know, it's interesting how much behavior changes when there's a camera installed in a classroom or an office, right? I remember before they had cameras, you know, even students would just, they would horse around in the classrooms and whatnot. But now we have cameras everywhere. We even have cameras in the school bus. So kids have to behave. And so our lives are kind of like that. God sees everything. God knows everything. And yet we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to hide things from God, which is really useless. But there are some deep, dark secrets that we have never confessed to God, and we just keep it tucked in there. And what happens is, because if you have this darkness in your soul, Satan grabs a hold of that and just pulls you back. So if you feel stuck spiritually, like, I'm trying all these things, and I can't progress, I can't inch forward, I feel spiritually dry, There may be some deep, dark secrets in your heart that you need to just expose to God, because God sees everything. And that's what we see here in Psalm 139 as well. It's a beautiful psalm. And the psalm has four verses, six verses each. And there are a lot of, if you read the commentary on Psalm 139, there are a lot of theological terms that get thrown around, omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence, and all that. But when David wrote this psalm, he wasn't thinking that. Like, this song is going to end up in theology books. This is a personal psalm. This is a personal song that he wrote. And it shows you the relationship that he has and he had with God. So it's a very intimate song. And so instead of me throwing out theological terms, let's just talk about what David is talking about here. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So verse 1 starts by saying, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." So what David is trying to say is, God knows. God knows me. God the Creator, God who knows everything, God who is in control of everything, he knows me. That's how important this one individual is, David is. And what's true to David is true to you as well. God, he searched you and he knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows you, well, because he created you. You know when I sit and when I rise. You know everything about me. You know my actions. You perceive my thoughts from afar. So not only do you know my actions, but you know my motivation. You know why I do what I do. That's who our God is. He knows you. So just by looking at these first two verses, God is saying, and Scripture is teaching us, that we don't need to hide. There's nothing you need to hide from God. Share your struggles with him. I think a lot of times people have issues with is, they have all these struggles and issues, and they want to share it with somebody. And they don't have anybody they could share that with. And God is saying, I'm right here. Come to me. Share with me. Share your struggles with me. Your deep thoughts. What's going on inside your soul? Is anything holding you back? Share with God, because he already knows. You discern my going out and my lying down, my travels. You are familiar with my ways. The other day, my wife, I don't think she jokingly said it, but we were talking about something, and she said, "You still don't know me." And I think it's not that I still don't know her. I think I want her to change in the way that I want her to be. You know, that's the truth. But she just said that, I think that was yesterday. She goes, "You still don't know me after all these years?" No. It's morning. Don't talk to me. So, yeah. But God knows you. So if you're not a morning person, that's okay. God is not expecting you to just share everything in the morning. He knows me. He knows that after 9 o'clock, I'm useless. And I need to go to bed. He knows everything about you. Before a word is on my tongue, You, Lord, know it completely. Even before you speak the word, he knows. That's who our God is. He knows you that intimately. He knows everything about you. How is he able to know what I'm about to say? Because he knows our heart, right? What we say comes from our heart. It comes from the inside. So he knows everything about you, your habits, what you like, what you don't like, your struggles, your thoughts, even the random thoughts that pop up. He knows all about that. And that's the Creator. That's God Almighty. And that should give you great comfort in knowing that he knows this about you. It says here, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. You know, what does that mean? That means he protects you. That word hem is more of a hedge. So he protects you. And you lay your hand upon me. So God's hand is upon you. And to that, David concludes, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Now that's flowery language. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. What is David saying here? When he says it's too lofty for me to attain. He goes, it's too much for me, God. You know, you're blowing me away here, and I don't know how to process all this. That's what David is saying. This is not just, oh, it's so wonderful that you know everything. That's not what he's saying. He's like, stop, this is too much. I can't handle this truth, God. No. That's what it means. So in a way, he's acknowledging that God knows everything, and he's also acknowledging that this is just too much for me to comprehend. It's just too much for me to process. Too much for me to fathom. I don't understand this. And we should be able to, we should be saying the same thing. Because why me? That's the first question I'm asking is why me? You know, you're busy. You got all these other things you need to take care of. But yet, you matter. Yet, I matter to God. And that blows me away. That still blows me away. And it's blowing David away. So in these first stanza, these first six verses, what we're learning is that God knows me. God knows you. You don't have to pretend. He knows everything about you. And that should give you great comfort in your relationship with God. Because you don't have to hide. He knows all your quirkiness. Go to him. Have a relationship with God knowing this. Knowing that you matter. Knowing that you're loved. And that God cares for you. He protects you. You have me in behind and before. Put a hedge around me. You protect me. He protects you. That's who our God is. And then let's go to the second stanza. He says, so first he says he knows me. And now he's saying he's all around me. You know, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? So even if you are attempting to run away, you can't. You can't. Adam and Eve tried. They're hiding, right, after they sin. Where are you? Jonah? What happened to Jonah? God says, go this way, and Jonah ran this way. He went complete opposite direction. But can you really run away from God? You cannot run away from God. No matter how hard you try, don't bother. He will find you. because he's with you. He says, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, Sheol, you know, with the dead, you are there. It doesn't matter if I go up or down. If I go up to the heavens or down, he's there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn from the east, if I settle on the far side of the sea to the west, he's there. North, south, east, west. Even though, even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. You cannot escape God's presence. God is there with you. Even if you're running away, he's there with you. So don't try. Don't bother. But run towards him. He's there. Even says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. So you can't even hide in the dark. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. So if you're hiding from God, this is bad news, right? It's bad news. And yet we still try to hide from God. And so to that, scripture is teaching us today, don't bother. It's useless. Save your energy. But for those of us who know God, for those of us who know his love, and for those of us who know that in him there's life, in him there's forgiveness, in him there's renewal, in him there's restoration, for those of us who know this, this is good news. That no matter where you go, no matter how dark it appears, God is with you. God is with you. And he will always be with you. You are not alone. There are days where when I feel so lonely, I've been feeling some loneliness these days because my good friends, some things are happening with my friends. And so I'm even doubting, are they even friends now? No. And so when people who I'm close with are no longer close to me, I just feel so lonely. And then I'm reminded that, oh wait, but God is with me. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus will never forsake you. You know, these truths are popping up in my head. Even when I was in Wisconsin, I was talking to somebody and they're quoting Psalm 139 to me. And I'll say, you have no idea, because that's the text I'm preaching out of this week. And so that's, God was affirming that to me as well. So he was ministering to me through his word, through the truth. And so if you're feeling lonely today, know that you are not alone. God is with you. Amen? Amen. He's with you. Even when it feels dark, he's with you. I love that. The night will shine like day. Sometimes I wish I could see at night like that too. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. So just knowing that fact alone, doesn't that comfort you? It should. And so David talked about God knowing him. David talked about God being with him. And now David is talking about how God created him. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When was the last time you saw yourself in the mirror and said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made? We should say that, right? When you look yourself in the mirror, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God created me. God created you. You are fearfully made. You are wonderfully made. But we're always looking at the flaws, like, oh, look at this, look at that. Trying to hide this, trying to hide that. You know, complaining. Why is my one eye bigger than the other? You know. Actually, for me, it is the eye too, but my ears too. One ear is bigger than the other. So my AirPod, one fits, the other one keeps falling off. It's like, why, Lord? There you go. There you go. Yes, as long as I could hear from one ear better than the other, you know. Your works are wonderful. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, we're in Ephesians. We're studying Ephesians on Wednesday nights. We'll eventually get there. We're still in chapter 1. But in chapter 2, it says, we are God's workmanship. We are God's masterpiece. You know, that's who we are. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are God's masterpiece. I'm not an artist, but when you're putting a piece together, you have the end in mind, right? So you know how it's going to end. You know what the final piece is going to look like. When I heard that, I was like, oh, yeah, that's true too. Sometimes you look at this clump of clay and like, what is this? Yeah. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's masterpiece. So if I'm going to be a masterpiece, I want to be God's masterpiece. You don't want to be my masterpiece, you know, or anyone else's, but God's masterpiece. So he says, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. My bones, my innards, my frame was not hidden from you. I was made in the secret place when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me. Your days, the number of days, were ordained, were written in your book. Even our days are ordained. Even today, ordained. Even yesterday. Yeah. Even those days where you felt like, ugh. Those days were all ordained. Before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Your thoughts are precious. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Once again, just, you know, I use this illustration a lot, but if God's like the ocean, we're a Dixie cup, right? What can you fit in a Dixie cup? You know, even if you're filled all the way up, God is like the ocean. He's greater than the ocean. He is infinite. We're finite beings. We can't comprehend. But the little that we can, it blows our mind away. It's wonderful. It's precious. And then he says something odd here. When I awake, I am still with you. When I awake, I am still with you. What does that mean? Well, if you look at Psalm, I think is it 17 or 71? Hold on, I wrote it down. Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse 15 says this, as for me, I will be vindicated and I will see your face when I awake. You know, so that means when I awake from dead is what he's talking about. Right? So when I awake, so this is the climax of this stanza is when I awake, I am still with you. When I'm awake, when I wake up from the dead, I am still with you. This is what David is saying here. This is what scripture is saying here, that not even death could separate us from God. Not even death can separate us from God. I'm sold. Nothing can separate us from God. And then this last stanza is a little strange. Actually, if you look at a lot of preacher sermons, they skip this part. And then they go down to verse 23. But verses 19 through 22, they don't really talk about this a lot. But we're going to talk about it, right? But it's about God testing, right? So if only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. So basically, what is David trying to say here? Is there are two ways to respond to God, knowing you. There are two ways to respond, and God being with you and creating you. One is the way of the wicked, and one is not the way of the wicked. And David is saying, hey, look, God, slay the wicked. They all speak evil of you. They misuse your name. And I hate them too. And I have nothing but hatred for them. And I count them my enemies. Here's a problem with this, though. The problem is we kind of all fall into this category, don't we? So if there are two ways to live, the way of the wicked and God's way, if you are honest about your life and if you examine your life, the way you live is this side, not this side. And scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So all of us kind of belong on this side. And none of us, scripture actually says, none of us are on this side. And here's David saying, kill them all. Which he's kind of including himself in here, isn't he? Kill them all. So how do we reconcile this? How do we reconcile this when there's two ways to live? And we're all responding this way. But there must be a third way to live. Right? And what is that third way? There's this way. The third way is Jesus. Amen. Why? Because Jesus is the only one who lived this way. He lived the perfect life. He lived the perfect life. So if there's one person who could say what David is saying here, it's Jesus. But then, what did Jesus do? After living the perfect life, he became the sacrifice. He died the death. All these things that David is talking about here, Jesus took our place in receiving that. Jesus took our place in receiving that. And so because of what Jesus has done, and that's when he died on the cross, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we could say the same things that David's saying here as well. Better than that, didn't Jesus teach us to love our enemies? Right here in verse 22, it's like, I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. And God is saying, love your enemies. How are we able to do that? We're able to do that because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? God who is with us. God who is all-knowing. God who is all-powerful. He abandoned, he forsake Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. Jesus faced the punishment that you and I deserve, so that through him, we can experience God's love, God's presence, that we can come to him knowing that he knows us. That's what happened at the cross. And that's the good news. That's what David was pointing to when he was singing this song, this psalm. And then he ends with, search me, O God. This is why he's able to say, search me, O God. And know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offense way in me. See if there's any sin in me. That's what David is saying. And lead me in the way of everlasting. Search me, O God. This should be our prayer every day. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my motivation. Test me. And if there's any sin in me, lead me in the way of everlasting. Help me. Guide me. Lead me. And isn't that what it means to be a believer? Is to have Jesus as our shepherd who leads us. The two psalms that I was meditating all week were this, Psalm 139 and Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is an image of Jesus being a shepherd and us being sheep. And that word lead me just stuck out. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Lead me. That means I can't do it. I need somebody to show me. You need to show me the way, Jesus. You need to lead me. I need to abandon my ways and I need to follow yours. God, be my shepherd. Lead me as my shepherd. And Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. That means we're sheep. That means we're dumb, actually, right? All we like sheep have gone astray, right? We're dumb. We are dumb and we need somebody to lead us. And this prayer is, Jesus, would you lead me? Jesus, he is the good shepherd. And when a shepherd leads, he is leading the way, but he's also watching you. He knows everything about you. So it's just a perfect illustration of what we just read. In John 10, he says, he calls, the good shepherd, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You see that? Not only does he call you, but he leads you out. Once again, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And that's Psalm 139. I know my sheep. I know their thoughts. I know the words that they're going to speak even before they say it. I know. But not just that. It says here, and my sheep know me. So do you know Jesus? Is Jesus leading you? Do you know Jesus? My prayer is that everyone here would say yes to that. But some of us, we know about Jesus, but we don't really know Jesus. Knowing Jesus means that you follow him, that he leads you, that he convicts you when you sin. So are you following him? Hear these words. These are the words of Jesus. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Do you know Jesus? Does Jesus know you? And are you following him? So church, God knows. He knows everything about you. He knows your struggles. He knows what brings you joy. And so may you know God. May you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. May you know Jesus as your shepherd. And may he lead you. God knows everything. Your thoughts, actions, your hearts. So let's trust him. Following God means we trust his wisdom. Following God means we surrender our ways. So let us surrender. Let me ask you to rise, and would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are the great shepherd. We thank you that you lead us. So I pray, Lord, that you would search our hearts. Search our hearts, oh God. And continue to sanctify us. Give us the strength and the courage to follow you. And so that's what we continue to pray. Search my heart, oh God. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's continue to worship him.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.